The following audio is from Overland Park Community Church. More information about OPCC can be found online at overlandpark.cc.
Welcome to OPCC. Welcome to those of you joining online. We're glad you guys are here today. What do want to say happy Mother's Day. I know you guys are going to ask me, so I have to give you an update. I did go back to Home Depot, okay? I did. Yeah. Cost me $750. But it was a really cool story that the next day I saw this ad pop up on Marketplace and I scored about $8,000 worth of outdoor kitchen equipment for $750. And I felt like, man, the Lord was saying, hey, my economy works different. And so I was really encouraged by that. I've been on my hands and knees a lot this week, not praying. I did my prayer, but I was screwing all those deck boards down. So it might be one of those days I can't hardly hold my arms up. I may need Joshua and Ben-Hur, they came and held while I preach, man. I'm just, whoa. So anyway, I know you don't feel sorry for me about that, but... I want to say that I just publicly say to you guys that I love my wife, I love my mom, and on behalf of all the men of the church, I want to thank all you moms for what you do, and we probably, don't do that. We probably don't do that as often and as well as we should, but please know that we appreciate you. We thank you from the bottom of our heart, and women are uniquely created by God for motherhood. There's just some things that a man can't bring to the family, and I look at a woman and just the way God has wired women is amazing. I remember when our kids were small, and Abby would go to do something at the church, maybe like yesterday, and she'd be gone all day and sometimes into the evening, and I had all five kids, and they had a ball with me. They know I'm fun, and I bring a lot of fun to the experience. But about 5 hours, man, and they're like, I'm not bringing something to the table that they were used to, and it becomes apparent they get a little bit grouchy. And so, can you just imagine how grouchy the world would be if God had not made mothers, man? A mother is a nurturer and brings something to the home that is extremely important and valuable, not only to the kids, but to her husband. And so thank you for that. And we know that motherhood could be very overwhelming at times. There's so much to do, so many expectations, so many people needing you, especially when your kids are small, sort of to do everything, to keep things going in the home. And if there's nothing to eat, generally everybody's looking at mom as, why isn't there anything to eat? That's the way it is in our home. Abby's always been real good about taking care of those things. And so all of those tasks can be overwhelming. And there really are a lot of things in life that overwhelm us, that can make us feel overwhelmed in the moment. We can go through things that cause us grief, or we can be caught up in shame and feel guilt over something, and that can be overwhelming. Just responsibilities and circumstances that are beyond our control, and all of a sudden, man, we're dealing with this feeling overwhelmed, and that feeling of being overwhelmed at work or at home or just with things that we want to do and we're not getting to do, that can start to create a tremendous amount of anxiety and get a person really in a tailspin, and they just feel like everything is falling apart. And so since it's Mother's Day, I want to talk to you just real briefly about how to deal with life when you start to feel overwhelmed. What do you do when things, man, they just get overwhelming? And they do for all of us. And we're going to look at a mom today that is probably the most fascinating mother in the Bible. And she fascinates me because she had to be overwhelmed. Her story is found in Luke chapter 1. We're going to be looking at verses 26 through 39. I'm going to paraphrase the story for you. You can dive a little deeper in it, but I'm referring to Mary, the mother of Jesus. Now, there's an overwhelming task. And just think about her story. And so in this passage, if you read it later today or this week, basically what happens is Mary is doing something, and out of the blue, this angel appears to her. And he's like, "What's up, Mary? You're highly favored of the Lord." And she's like, "Say what?" She's like, she's troubled, it says, by the statement that he makes to her. And the angel says to her, "Don't be afraid. You're going to have God's son, and you're going to name him Jesus." So going from highly favored, seeing an angel, to all of a sudden you're going to bear the Messiah, and it's going to be a divine son, and you are to name this boy. He will be a king of a never-ending kingdom. And she says, "How am I going to do that? I'm a virgin. I've never even been with a man before." And he says, "The Holy Spirit will make it happen. He will come over you, and you will be with child, and it will be divine. And even your cousin Elizabeth, even though she's an older lady that has passed the age of being able to bear children, she is pregnant. She's in her sixth month of pregnancy because nothing is impossible with God." And then the angel leaves, and she has to deal with a lot right there in that moment. You want to talk about feeling overwhelmed? For one, like what just happened? Now, nothing like that has ever happened to me. I may have entertained, as the book of Hebrews says, an angel unaware, but I've never entertained one fully aware that I was talking to an angel. She was, man. Like, this was an angelic being sent by God to tell her this, and I don't know, you know, the scripture doesn't say how she dealt with that, but if she's human like us, certainly she had to be wondering, like, did I just make all that up? Right? Like, your mind starts to work on you a little bit. And I think that's wonderful that she had Elizabeth to go get some confirmation over, and then finally Joseph, obviously. But before she talks to Joseph, she's got to tell Joseph this crazy story. "Oh, what's that date night like?" Right? You know? And then Joseph, he obviously is visited by the angel as well. She's got to deal with all kinds of fears of criticism, people talking about, you know, they're not only were they being sinful, maybe they would say it, but they're making up this crazy story as well. And so she's feeling really alone and isolated and overwhelmed in this moment for sure. And she's got to deal with inadequacy. You got to be Jesus's mom. What do you think about that? You're reminded of the story when she probably tried to execute some discipline here and there, right? I'm sure Jesus is a good kid. But certainly when they did travel to the festival and they couldn't find him on the way home and they had to go back into Jerusalem and find him, and she's like, "Jesus, like, what are you doing here?" And so she's kind of getting on to Jesus a little bit. And Jesus tells her, "Hey, am I not to be about my Father's business?" And so Jesus kind of had to remind her. That's overwhelming, right? That's overwhelming to think about. We went through that phase people did in Christianity. So wear the bracelet. What would Jesus do? You're the mother of Jesus. He's kind of always watching. That's overwhelming. And so that's certainly, what's going to happen to my body? The Holy Spirit is going to do what? Like first of all, I remember when Abby, she was pregnant with Joel, and we found out, I was like, are you nervous? You know, didn't that freak you out a little bit? You're going to have a baby? And I remember what she says, "No, not really." And I think that was a good response because that's what the Lord made her to be able to do. And so Show me a man that can do that, and I'll start believing all this nonsense they're talking about. Stay focused. I just get a little fed up with all that. I'm tired of keeping my mouth shut. So she's dealing with this change. How's this going to affect my life? Lots of stuff going on with her. And so she's dealing with enough fear to overwhelm her. And so we have to ask the question, what did she do? How did she handle this? How did she approach it? If you're a mom, how do you approach it when you're feeling like things are overwhelmed in your house? Even if you're a dad, like whatever, when you're feeling overwhelmed with all of the responsibilities that a dad has to bring to the table. And even if you're not a parent, you know, there, we face these experiences of being overwhelmed. And Mary shows us some really cool things. And one of the things that I would point out is verse 38, how she responds to all of it. She says, "I'm the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." And then the angel left her. And so here's the first key to dealing with feelings of being overwhelmed. You got to let it go. When you are facing things that are starting to cause you to spin and get in this place of being anxious or overwhelmed, and you're starting to worry a lot, Mary just let go of her need to control the situation. She didn't get into an argument with the Lord and prayer. She didn't try to ask God to do something different. She just said, "May it be. If this is what the Lord has said, then may it be." And she let go of her need to control the situation. Now, typically, the more out of control we feel, the more overwhelmed we are. And the more overwhelmed we are, the greater we feel the need to control the situation more. And so it works against us. It's a vicious cycle, and we begin to micromanage. And a lot of times in a home, you'll see this with a mom. She will worry so much about something happening to her kids that she starts micromanaging everything about those kids. You don't worry about where they go. I'm going to take them. All of these things. And now there's a certain amount of worry or responsibility that needs to be there. But it can get very unhealthy if you get overwhelmed and you're scared something's going to happen to your kid because you love the kid so much. And you want to guard them, and you start to shelter them from everything because you're worried that something would happen to them that would crush your heart. And the fact is, we have to understand that most of life is out of our control. There's nothing we can do about it. And as a parent, you know, you kind of got to come to a place where you're like, well, something could happen to the child, but I'm following the Lord and his favor rests upon me. And I don't have to worry about that. If it's in the cards and God sovereignly has, determined that something's going to happen, something's going to happen, but nothing can happen unless he allows it to happen. And I have to rest in that. And that's what Mary was doing. She was recognizing the sovereignty of God, and she was recognizing that this was out of her control. And the second thing is, we can't figure everything out. There's a lot of, most of life that we wrestle with, the things that cause us to be a little bit overwhelmed, we can't figure it all out. One of the most powerful prayers that I've learned to pray, even about a day, is, "Lord, I don't know what's going to happen to me today. I don't know who I'm going to encounter. I don't know what news I'm going to hear. I don't know exactly, you know, who I might need to share the gospel with. I don't know any of that, but you know it all. You're already there. You are functioning in time, but you're outside of it, and you're already at the end of my day, and you know what I'm going to face." And my prayer, Lord, is just that when I face it, that you help me in the midst of it respond as you would desire for me to respond, and that you would get the glory out of it. And that, boy, that just takes me from a place of even worrying about how much I can get accomplished on a small project, or if I'm going to be able to get done before I know I got to be at an appointment at something else and move, jockeying my schedule around. I just rest in the Lord and know that he's got all of it, and it just calms me down and keeps me from spiraling out of control in my mind. And Mary's initial response is, she says, "How will this be? I'm a virgin." Like, how can this happen? And this is a typical reaction when we feel overwhelmed. But how? How can I do this? How can, I mean, how can I get over this? But we notice as we look at her dealing with that, and we're thinking in terms of, we feel that and we can identify that with that. How in the world am I going to get it all done on time? How in the world am I going to solve this problem? Mary quickly shifted from but how. That's what's what happens. She recognized the angel said, with God, all nothing is impossible. And so she moved from the but how, even in the impossibility of her never having slept with a man and being told by a divine being that she was going to be with child. She moved from the how to with God. Like, I just got to trust the Lord in this and know that he will be there. And so Mary quickly shifted in her mind. And the principle is this: whatever is bugging you in your life right now because you can't control it, you need to understand that although it's out of your control, it's not out of God's control. Never is, never will be. And we when we say that, hey, we walk by faith and not by sight, that's one of the ways we walk by faith, is we recognize God is in control of all of this. And sometimes things are gonna, they're gonna get a little bumpy and I'm gonna be worried a few things are gonna fall off the cart, but it's okay, because the Lord is watching over the cart as I'm there laboring and I've put my shoulder to the plow. I'm walking and trying to walk under in obedience to him. And he's promised that as I'm walking in that way, he cares for me. He's going to shepherd me. He loves me, and he's watching out for everything that's on the cart of life that I'm pushing, and nothing is going to fall off that needs to be there in order for me to live the fullest potential of my life. And that's encouraging. I find a lot of comfort in that. And so when Mary understood this, she stopped worrying and she started trusting. She relaxed, and her response was instant, and it was simple, just simple faith. And this is the first step toward having a peaceful life, is it doesn't matter what overwhelms you, you got to come to a place in your life where you just let it go. You're just going to let go and go, man, the Lord is in control of this. I'm going to let him lead me, and he will show me how to navigate through this. Here's the second thing, really, really important. You got to let people in. You don't just let go of your need to control a situation. You let people in to speak life into you. And this is the opposite of what we tend to do. When people tend to get overwhelmed, they start withdrawing from their relationships. They start isolating, feeling like they don't have enough time to even be with, get things done, much less be with people. And they don't understand that internally, there's some things going on that's really bothering them, and they start pulling back. And we don't need to isolate ourselves. We need to seek other people out. And this is what Mary did. If you look at her in verse 39, it says, at that time, Mary got ready and she hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and she greeted Elizabeth. So she went to see Elizabeth. Now, Elizabeth was Mary's cousin. Now, that's who she was is not as important as what she was. What was it? What do we know about Elizabeth? Well, one, we know she was married to a priest. So therefore, this was a godly home. This was a home where there was a great deal of attention focused on the Lord. And we also know that she was an older woman, because she wasn't even supposed to, they wanted a kid, and they prayed and prayed and prayed and never been able to have a kid. And ultimately, she is the mother of John the Baptist. And there's a miraculous birth that happens there as well, as Zechariah received the vision in the temple, and she's carrying John the Baptist in her womb. And so she's a godly woman. She's an older woman. She has some life experience and wisdom. She's pregnant, but she's a little further along than Mary is. She's 6 months pregnant. Mary just found out that she's getting pregnant and going to have a child. And so here's the point. When you're overwhelmed, you need an Elizabeth in your life, okay? You don't just need anybody. And a lot of times we will seek out people and allow people to speak into our lives that have no business speaking into our lives, because they will not speak the things of the kingdom into our lives. They will speak the things of the world into our lives. And we learned about in the Wedge series that there is a demonic wisdom that is of the world. And a lot of people don't even know it's demonic. It's just the way the world functions and operates. There's a lot of people that would have called me a fool for going back to Home Depot and paying an extra $750. But I'll sit around my $7,000 worth of equipment and just smile big. Like there's a different time type of wisdom in the world than there is in the kingdom. And so an Elizabeth, a person like an Elizabeth, will speak life into you, and you will hear words of truth, and you will hear not things that a lot of times, this is why it's so dangerous to just let anybody speak into your life, is that some people, they will tell you what you want to hear. And those are the people that just want to be in relationship with you. They just enjoy you and they feel for you and they have some empathy, but they'll just tell you what you want to hear. They'll tell you what you need to hear. They'll tell you exactly what you need to hear and won't worry about whether or not they're hurting your feelings. Well, they will worry about whether they're hurting your feelings, but they won't worry about speaking hard truth, because they know this is what's going to give life to you in this situation. And they'll tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. And a person that's using worldly wisdom won't do that. You need somebody not only that is a strong believer. That's what I'm trying to get at, is when you're looking for an Elizabeth in your life, and we'll say for the men, Edward, when you're looking for an Ed or an Elizabeth, you got to find a strong believer, man, somebody who is stronger in their faith than you are. And there's always somebody stronger in their faith than you are, somebody who's been following the Lord for longer and been, you know, learned a lot of lessons from the Lord about how to apply some of the biblical principles. And so somebody that's a strong believer, somebody a little bit older than you, is always helpful. Why is that helpful? I used to look at and go, man, why are all these jobs posting on here that, you know, at least 10 years of experience? That's stupid, man. I'm really good at stuff. Why do I need 10 years of experience to get that job? And why does a person that has 10 years of experience get paid more than a person that doesn't? Because that person with 10 years of experience has already broken a lot of stuff that they won't break in the next 10 years. That's just the bottom line. It's not that they're more gifted. It's none of that. It's just more life they've lived. And the more life you live, it's amazing. You know, it's really frustrating, to be honest with you, because you learn how to do more things, but you have less energy to do the things. And it's frustrating. But I guess you don't make as many mistakes, and so that's helpful. But anyway, you need somebody that's a little, you know, they're a stronger believer, a little older, and then somebody who's a little further along in their journey than you are. And so, like, you could look at somebody older that may not be as far along in their journey with the Lord than you are. And so as you're looking for this person in your life to speak life into you, look for people like that, and the Lord will supply them. That's what I love about this story, is that here is Mary. She gets this overwhelming task that is really hard for a human to believe, but the Lord put somebody else there in her life to walk with her that was going through something very similar, and they could share in their fellowship with one another. And that's the power of discipleship and walking with other believers and helping each other along, is the Lord puts these people in our lives to help us get to where he wants us to go, okay? So here we go. We got to let it go. We got to let people in. And then here's number three. You got to let Jesus strengthen you. You got to let the Lord strengthen you. Now, how do you get the kind of strength when you're overwhelmed? You get it by doing what she did. And if you read the rest of her story, then you're going to learn that in the passage that she writes this song. It's called Mary's Song. And anytime the Lord would move, now this is prior to the Holy Spirit being given to all believers. And so the Lord comes over people in a special way. And there are a lot of times in the Word, especially in the Old Testament, we have like Hannah's song. And that's when she prayed and prayed and prayed for a child. And finally she became pregnant, and she dedicated As we'll do in the next service, we're going to dedicate some children to the Lord. She dedicated Samuel to the Lord for all of his life. And Mary actually quotes that song in her song. But any time, like, you'd see these things happen, and these people would, they would write a song about how the Lord moved in this situation. And often those songs are recorded in scripture for us. And we see in this song that, first of all, she praised the Lord for his goodness. So what do you do when you're overwhelmed? You praise the Lord for your goodness. You can even praise the Lord that you're feeling overwhelmed right now because you realize the Lord is teaching you to let go of this and for to look for some people to let into your life. And then you recognize that, man, the Lord is trying to strengthen you, and that's why you feel overwhelmed, is that you need an awareness that he's the one in control and you're not, and he is always in control, and you're overwhelmed because you're thinking this is going to spiral out of control, and you've lost sight of your faith in him, that he's holding it all together for you, and so you begin to let him strengthen you, and you start praising the Lord for all the things in your life. And you, instead of focusing on the things that feel like they're going to fall apart, you start focusing on the things that are together. You start focusing on, look at the good stuff in my life. Maybe it's my health. Maybe it's the home that I live in, and maybe it's the food that I have to eat. I mean, you can always find something that you go, man, look, the Lord has blessed me. Brad and I, we were up at playing pickleball a little bit Friday afternoon, and we were walking by, and the guy that over here at Elite, he tells us, yeah, we're having this really cool tournament, and all these guys were in wheelchairs playing tennis. He said, and Brad was like, man, thank the Lord. Like, that just makes me feel a little convicted when I see that. And yeah, and I get that. It's like, man, these guys are out there. And when we see that, we can go, man, I thank the Lord I have my legs. Like, I could very easily be one of those guys. I saw a girl running down the sidewalk by Lifetime the other day. And she's running on some of those, what do they call them, springy things? What? You guys got to talk loud. I can't hear. Legs? What? You know what? Limbs. Yes. Is that right? No. Well, for you know what I'm talking about. Blades. Oh, blades. That's what they're called. Right. Blades. I knew it the other day, but I forgot it there in a moment. He said, she's running down the road, man, and just bouncing around. I look over and I just tell the Lord, I'm motivated now, Lord. I'm motivated. In this moment, seeing that girl out there run down the sidewalk, then thank the Lord, man, that I have my health. I thank the Lord that I have my marriage. I thank the Lord for my kids' health. I can always find something to thank the Lord for, and it just brings me out of this feeling of being overwhelmed by things that the enemy will try to use to get me discouraged. And so there's enormous power in that praise. It creates power inside of me because it lifts my mind above my circumstances, and it starts getting my head in heaven as my feet are on the ground. And I'm starting to think with the perspective of the divine and how God is viewing all of life. And I'm thanking him for the good things instead of complaining about the things that are frustrating me. And all of a sudden there's a shift, in my thinking and in my thought. And so when you hear this song, you also see that Mary thought about God's word. She quotes extensively from the Old Testament. And so what is she doing? She's soaking her mind in the word of God. And that's how you let the Lord strengthen you. And you just can think about, that's why it's so important to be in the word, man. Is your verses will come to you in moments of when you're feeling overwhelmed by something in life. The Holy Spirit will just bring a verse that you've read to attention, and then you can start to meditate on it, and it can lift you out of this. And if you're not careful, if you're not in the word and you don't learn how to pray and praise the Lord and talk to him, then you're just going to have a lot of anxiety that just continues to build and build. And it can lead to these really terrifying places that people can often experience. And one of the ways we do that is just by focusing our attention on the truth of God's word, beginning to pray that word and praise the Lord for who he is. And all of a sudden, this is how you get yourself from getting overwhelmed. And that brings us to the big idea. I'm not overwhelmed because nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible. That's what the angel said. Nothing's impossible with God, Mary. And really, like when we look at that, we say, well, does that mean nothing's impossible? It means nothing's impossible within the sovereignty of God of how he determines things in your life. Our whole foundation of our faith is built upon, we believe that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and was resurrected. The thing that terrifies all humans at the end of the day that we all have in common is that we will all die. And we're measuring how much time we have before that event comes. And here we have the promise that Christ rose from the dead. And so our whole faith is built upon this radical truth of the dead rise. And so nothing is impossible with God. And we all have that personal miracle, and whatever he wants us to accomplish, as long as we're following him within his will and our ears are attentive to his desire, fill those desires as we walk out our obedience to him. Now here's the irony. She thought she was carrying Jesus, but he was actually carrying her, right? And sometimes you may feel overwhelmed as a believer because you have a responsibility that a lot of the world doesn't think about if they're not believers. And you may think you're carrying Jesus, but you need to be reminded you are not carrying Jesus. He is carrying you. And as you walk through life, just always know, man, there's no reason for you to let being overwhelmed own you. Just turn your heart to the Lord. Be reminded of these things. Let go of that control. Let people into the situation. Tell them when you're feeling a little bit overwhelmed so they can speak some life into you or sometimes even help you. And then let the Lord strengthen you by understanding he's the one carrying you anyway. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for moms and motherhood. And we just pray for your blessing upon our moms that are here today. And we pray, Father, for the moms that will become moms this year that don't even know that. We pray your blessing on their lives. We pray for the moms that have lost children, Lord, and suffered that pain, that you would comfort them this morning. And we pray for, Lord, for people who may not have a relationship with their mom, and this is a hard day for them. We pray that you would speak to them today and show them that no woman on this earth, even their mother, the best mother who ever existed, could love them the way you do. We thank you for this day. We thank you for this word. We pray for your blessing on the teaching of it. We ask it in Christ's name and amen.
Thank you for listening to audio from Overland Park Community Church in Overland Park, Kansas. For more information, visit us online at overlandpark.cc.